Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you this week, especially as we head into November, which is known for a number of things, Thanksgiving coming up. Also, our 200th episode of the show is coming up. Ridiculous. Martha's sitting here, and I'm like, can we believe that we've done it this long, Martha?
Well, you've done it this long. I haven't.
Martha's a newbie to the show. She's coming up on a year here pretty soon. But yes, almost 4 years for me, I think. January of 08. Yeah, ridiculous. So 200 episodes. And we are actually going to be doing a contest surrounding that. We are going to ask for your videos that commemorate your listening experience of 200 episodes. So any way that you want to commemorate that. Favorite shows, you know, words of congratulations for making it through 200 episodes, anything that's impacted you specifically, you're going to submit a video to us. And the winner is going to get some actual awesome prizes, including a $200 gift certificate to commemorate 200 episodes, as well as having your video featured on our site and having you featured on the show. You will be famous. So you're going to check that out at our blog. We're going to introduce that and give you some more details on that. So, but for this week's show, in addition to, like I said, Thanksgiving and us having our 200th episode and any other holidays that come up nationally and internationally here in the month of November, it is also National Adoption Month. So we are here to celebrate that. You know that we did that last year, and we want to highlight that again this year by talking about some of the new and great things that are happening in this sphere. Later on in the show, though, you're going to hear Joanne Condi from our Focus Counseling Department addressing a question from a listener who is now pregnant and is concerned. She works at a Christian radio station and is concerned just kind of all the ramifications of this and how she's going to deal with that and going from there. So she will be addressing that for our inbox question. And then our culture segment this week is with Kelly Rosati, our Vice President of Community Outreach here at Focus on the Family. You've heard her on the show as well. And she's going to tell her own story of adoption that she has chronicled in the book, Wait No More. So we're going to get to hear her story. She's talked obviously about Focus's efforts, but now we're going to hear her personal journey, that of her and her husband. So very exciting. But here we are doing a roundtable, and we're going to hit on a couple things this week. Of course, we have Katie. You knew her as Porter, now Overstreet. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lisa.
I know, a lot happens in a year.
Yeah, it does, absolutely.
So, hey, we just walked through your story with you, because, you know, you were here, you talked about adoption orphan care last year, then You were here talking about your story of considering adoption in a relationship before It's actually has moved to marriage. So apparently that didn't scare your now husband.
Yeah, it didn't, thankfully. Good. So, yeah, and then I was on, too, talking about, now we're planning a wedding. What does that look like? That What episodes? Yeah, I really have shared it all with the Boundless
Here
folks.
Here we are. And now I told her before we started taping, you know, when are you going to start adopting these 12 kids? We're waiting for them to just start happening. So
yeah, we're going on 4 months, so we're waiting a little bit longer before we jump into kids.
Well, we'll just, you know, we're just going to keep her accountable, folks, here at the Boundless Show, because, you know, we just need to make sure that she's, you know, we're holding their feet to the fire. No, I'm just teasing. But very fun to have Katie here. A newcomer to the table, Kevin Carlson, is here with us. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Very fun to have Kevin here. He's going to be sharing some of his story, he and his wife, how they have been involved in the world of foster care and adoption in their own way, which is kind of exciting. And we will hear a little bit about that in a moment. Martha is here at the table as well. Martha, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.
Martha has not yet adopted any children, but we're waiting for her to as well. So
wow.
We'll see. After today, she's going to go out today after the show and adopt a few kids. We'll see how it works. So very exciting. We are going to talk. OK, here's the subject for today's roundtable. You know, last year, those of you, I alluded to Katie being here on the show, we talked about what really adoption and orphan care means, especially for our audience when we think towards the possibility of being involved in this and really the church's mandate and a believer's mandate as laid out in Scripture. And we talked very specifically about what it means to have adoption as your plan A. And Katie just really shared last time her own conviction of really coming into this and realizing, wow, this is what Scripture says. And as I'm looking towards marriage and having a family, what does it really look like? look like to consider taking kids on as really a plan A for having kids. And that was really a fun discussion and a convicting one. But here I want to open up the conversation because we've thought, and many of our audience have thought probably throughout the year and have gotten involved in different ways. What are some fun ways that we have gotten involved in helping out when we think of the sanctity of human life under the banner, you know, all of this comes under that banner, to love others, to care for others. We know the mandate for orphans and widows. What does that look like for us practically? And so I want us to start talking about how we've done that, what that looks like, what we've considered doing, and just some of the implications of that. So let me just throw that out on the table here as far as having that kind of conversation, because I think it's important. And maybe Katie, you could kind of start with where you are. Obviously, professionally here at Focus, this is part of your life, but just some things that you have seen and some things that you've done and just kind of where that is in your own heart.
Sure. Yeah, like you said, it is really part of my work, and I am blessed to be able to do something that relates to something that I'm passionate about and that I'm excited about and that I believe fully in, and that is caring for orphans. And so it's a neat place for me to be, and as it relates to work, but also personally, I found ways to be involved even before I was married, and then my husband and I are considering what that means for our family and how we build a family. But it's neat to see how, with this area in particular, there's not one way I can tell folks to be involved, and there's not one way that really is the best thing to do. And it really is neat how God uses so many different skills and abilities and giftings and interests to benefit kids and to benefit orphans and the families who are then welcoming them home permanently, because it's not a cookie cutter type of ministry. And so it's really neat just to see how the Lord has been using that. And so I have this heart for kids. And when I was like 12, I started babysitting before I was even allowed to stay home by myself, you know, made my mom nervous, but I've always loved kids. I love being around them. So I've spent time working and doing respite care. It's called, it's kind of like babysitting, but it's a little higher level for an adoptive family. These kids have some severe special needs. And so there are some special needs of that family too, and some special ways that I have to relate to them and some things that I've had to learn as I go about that. But it's been neat to see how the Lord can teach you and mold you and teach you how to better relate to people and how to understand people and how to be humble as you come to someone and say, I want to help. And I'm willing to learn what's helpful to you rather than here's what I think you need and here's how I'm going to do it, even if it's not really beneficial to you. So God, I've seen God work in so many different ways in so many different lives to speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves and to impact orphans in ways that look so different from one to the other, but just are really capturing his heart for what it means to minister to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, maybe this is just me, but doesn't it seem like more people are adopting now? I mean, I see, you know, you would say 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, it was kind of that a family who couldn't have children and they were looking for a baby and whatever. Now I go to church and I see families that have like 4 or 5 adopted kids, and you're just kind of like, whoa, here it is. And I mean, I think that what we've done here at Focus, stuff like Wait No More and stuff, has really elevated that. And I think families really are stepping up. And so it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, there really has been an increase over the last several years. And I think obviously there is an increase, but also an increase in the publicity of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, years ago, it was those couples who struggled to have biological children, but wanted to build a family. So they adopted, but they would specifically adopt a child of their race and tell no one that child had been adopted. Mm-hmm. And so there's been this more public side of it where it's saying, no, I didn't birth this child physically, but we call it not a child of my womb, but a child of my heart. And you were born in my heart, and that celebration of it rather than keeping it more a secret. And so that's part of the reason I think that it seems more like it's happening a lot more. But also we've seen churches really waking up to saying, Scripture has called us to this, and oops, we've not been doing anything. And as God has adopted us as his sons and daughters, we are called to adopt children into our family. And it's a neat picture of the gospel in a very tangible way to a watching world.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right, Kevin, I want to hear a little bit of your story. You two are a relatively young married, meaning you're both young and you haven't been married for a long time. Yeah, yeah. And you're married, you and your wife, and you've gotten involved in a really unique ministry. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's called Fostering Hope, and it's an interfaith ministry here in the Springs, and they basically go into a church and they assemble a team of, I would say, 6 or 8 people, And then they pair that team up with a family that has foster kids. And then you just meet with the family and figure out what all their needs are, which I had no idea how demanding it is to be a foster parent. And so you just help them out with whatever. So it's kind of really individualized. And so you might be driving their kids to their, you know, literally it could be 20 appointments a week, or helping them with their homework or mowing their lawn or whatever. And it's just, it's really helpful to the families. And the coolest thing for us is that, you know, it wasn't overwhelming. And we're able to help them, and we usually babysit so they can have a night out away from everything. And we'll do that like once a week usually. But Fostering Hope just says, you know, if you could do one thing a month, then that will be really helpful. And since you have a team, it makes a huge difference in the family. Mm-hmm. So,
and this is you and your wife, Jessie. And mm-hmm. how is it that you actually really realized that this was something that you were burdened for and that you really wanted to be involved in?
I think we became aware of all the cool things that were going on with adoption and orphan care. And, you know, we understood the biblical mandate to at least be involved in some way. And I don't think everyone's necessarily called to adopt. We feel like that may be in our future, but we're not real sure yet. But we wanted to be involved somehow. And so we heard about this way to do it. And it's more than just, you know, giving money to organizations or whatever. We learned a lot about everything through the Wait No More conferences. And we, you know, had no idea. We just thought we'd check it out. And it was really cool. And we actually found out about Fostering Hope through the adoption ministry at our church. So we're kind of, I think it's really sad that, you know, we didn't find out about it sooner, and not many people know about opportunities like this. So, but it's been a huge blessing for us.
Yeah. And we were talking, Katie, on the front end, how, you know, obviously Fostering Hope is something here local in Colorado Springs, and there are a number of different groups like that. But really, you don't have to have necessarily an organized organization
right.
to go out under. You can just find families and say, what can I help with?
Right. Yeah. And that's a neat thing. I mean, it's great having a ministry like Fostering Hope who can help just bring everybody together, get them on the same page. And it is helpful that they have some levels of training too, to say, let's understand the needs of families rather than just running in gangbusters trying to get something done and not realizing how it might be harmful to the family because you're not respecting their boundaries and their needs. But yeah, it's as simple as just identifying a foster or adoptive family in your church or community. And most churches have some family, certainly within most communities. So worst case, you go find an adoption agency and say, I want to make myself available as a resource to families. Here are some of the things I like to do. But usually you can identify an adoptive family. And sometimes it's easy to identify because they've got African children in a white home. So, mm-hmm. you know, okay, there's probably something going on here that, mm-hmm. and maybe I could be a blessing to this family. But it does require coming at that too from that spirit of humility to say, here's what I'd like to do. And I feel called to help you in whatever way that means, and being persistent with that. Cause you know, it's easy for a lot of us to say, oh, we're doing fine. We don't need help. We're good. But even though we might really want somebody to be walking alongside with us, but it's hard to ask for help. But being persistent in a way that, again, is not just going to trample over the families, but also being respectful of their needs and saying, okay, I want to learn your family and I want to come over and spend time with you guys. And if I really want to babysit, how about I come over, you know, one Saturday afternoon and all together, we'll all have lunch. Maybe I just bring a pizza over and get to know you as well as your kids. Understand the boundaries that you have set up, understand the rules that you have in place, and understand the reasoning behind some of it. We often see that parents who are parenting kids with previous trauma, which are a lot of adoption situations, there's different parenting strategies that have to be utilized. These kids have just been through a lot in their short lives. And so too often we say, well, I know how to do this. I know how to handle this. I've parented kids before. Well, you know what? This might be a different situation. So how can we come at that family in a way that's respectful of them and of their boundaries? And again, it does just take you identifying a family and then just saying, we'd love to be able to support you. And if it means we go to Target every other week, can you just give me a list, even of like, just write down the 10 things that you need and I'll just pick them up for you and mm-hmm. bring them over. Even that simple thing that the mom can just cross off her list, not have to worry about taking care of that, whether it's meals, like Kevin said, meals and laundry and babysitting and yard work. Those simple things, that seem like, well, why do we need to do that for somebody? When you've got parents who are welcoming home children, again, some of them with some very difficult backgrounds and coming from really hard places, it frees up those parents to say, let us have a time to just work with our kids and to spend time with our kids and investing in the relationship, which is the most important thing too. Now, obviously, we need toilet paper, we need to have the lawn mowed, but how can someone else help us with those simple tasks?
Yeah, well, and the thing I love about that is, as Kevin alluded to, is that this is something where everyone with every gifting can be part of, you know, so some guy that's sitting here listening to this saying, oh, you know what, I don't do kids, okay, I don't do that. Well, you know what, you can mow someone's lawn.
Right.
You can,
you can build the bunk beds for the family who just welcomed home two kids or something like that. There's all kinds of projects that these families could use help with that, yeah, maybe doesn't require you to babysit. That's fine. Mm-hmm. We understand. Not everybody likes the all the time with the kids. But what is the gift that the Lord has given you that you may be able to use to bless a family?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Martha loves to babysit.
I do. So,
so Martha, I mean, obviously Martha and I, you know, here we are single, but we have been involved with Focus on the Family for a long time. And obviously now know this ministry so well, know Wait No More, know what we're doing with adoption orphan care. How, Martha, have you had anything like, as you've known of this ministry, where it's kind of like pricked your heart and been like, oh, how could I be involved in this in any way?
Well, I have to be honest and say it hasn't. And part of that, I'm glad that Katie clarified, if you know, what are your strengths and find your place to fit in, because my first impression of it is like, these are some needy people. And that is exhausting and tiring and eats into my time. And so this gives me a new perspective to think about of how could I plug in and yet also face my selfishness at the same time and make changes.
Yeah, it is a neat, it's convicting as you go meet with these people, like the family that I serve. Just the needs that this family has is unbelievable. The parents have totally, radically changed their lives to meet the needs of their three children. I mean, just you look at them and you go, that's kind of crazy, the things you've had to do, but it's been so beneficial to the kids. So when I can walk into that environment and go, wow, I'm here for like a couple hours, you know, I'm doing the little thing. This is, I mean, it feels like an imposition to my time. But when I see the sacrifices that these families have made and feel like, and they have said to me, it is so helpful that we know we can call you, even if it's just every couple months when they really get in a pinch with something and they can trust that I understand their needs. It's been a huge blessing to the family.
And I love, I mean, this is a great time to reiterate what really blew me away last year when we first started talking about this. And that is that these are, in many cases, couples who have looked at this, have completely shifted their perspective and said, okay, maybe we're now empty nesters. Maybe we have kids that are older in our home or biological. What can we do to bless these kids? How are we going to take on these kids and find out, make it about them? I mean, this is about serving them. This isn't about what we need in our family, you know, because some of these people are like, we don't need any more kids, okay?
Right.
We you know, but we have the resources. We now maybe have the time. We obviously have the heart for this, the desire to do this. How can we bless these kids?
Yeah, and there are a lot of empty nesters who are either, A, opening their homes and welcoming, you know, and adopting. And they're great families because they've parented before. And so for a 14-year-old kid, they could be a great parent. You've got the older kids who can help teach them how to be a brother or a sister, how to live in a family. But also you've got some of these empty nesters who are saying, okay, I really don't feel called to adopt. But now I'm the kind of quote-unquote adoptive grandparent for these children. And I come over on a regular basis and we just hang out and I bring them a little birthday gift and I'm there at their birthday parties and we just celebrate life together. And I'm like a grandparent to all these kids. And it's just a neat ministry that they can have, you know, time with the kids and see them grow up and invest in their lives without welcoming them home permanently. But again, a great blessing to the adoptive families who say, we're so thankful there's other people who are investing in our family.
That's cool. I think too, you know, one thing that I'm really passionate about is I just love old people. And so kind of going to the other end of the spectrum, and a friend of mine and I have talked about what it would look like within our church or within the community that we know to start really spending time with elderly. And, you know, some of the folks who don't have anyone else who maybe they're, you know, they're, I think of this even with my mom, because my mom's 82. And, you know, one thing she always tells me is, wow, you know, my friends are just dying off. And it is true, you know, and my dad's gone and her friends are dying. And to really find that community and find people who want to spend time with you and can do that on your schedule, you know, is sometimes a challenge. And so we're kind of considering, my friend and I, of what it would look like to start just visiting folks or starting to say, you know, hey, How many times do we go to Target or Walmart in a week? A lot, because I can't seem to consolidate my life and get it all done efficiently. So I just make all these trips or to the grocery store. And how difficult is it to just call someone up and say, hey, do you want to come along with me? Or do you have anything that you need me to pick up for you? Or do you want to hang out maybe and play cards sometime? Or just, you know, go to this play or something like that, and just incorporate someone who's older, because I think especially us as singles, we have so much in common, you know, with these folks, like widows and stuff. They're single too, you know, and so.
Well, it's easy to think the problem is overseas, you mm-hmm. know, of
right.
the orphans are in Africa and I'll send my money over there once a month. But just to have your eyes open for the needs in your community or your neighborhood or mm-hmm. that lady in your church, so it's yeah. a different perspective.
Yeah.
And just realizing that people, I mean, I think we overlook the fact that so many people are lonely, whether they mm-hmm. are elderly or whether they are a family that's adopted kids and feels like they're going through a difficult patch and no one understands them and no one is there to step in and help. And, you know, to realize that there are many needs that can be met in that sphere. Another thing I'm thinking of is, you know, we've for a long time talked about people volunteering like at pregnancy medical clinics and, you know, young moms there. I mean, there are so many different opportunities, whether you're helping out at the clinic itself or whether you embrace and befriend moms that are, you know, kind of coming out of that experience and are now going to choose to keep their baby or maybe give the baby up for adoption. I mean, there are so many different people that need to be befriended in their situation. Mm-hmm. Any other creative ideas or things that you guys have thought about or have seen done that would kind of spark ideas in people's heads?
I did volunteer at a pregnancy center for a couple of years, just helping with their reception desk. But the opportunities were really surprising. It's not just the counselor one-on-one, but they had people organizing diapers and formula and baby clothes and mm-hmm. working on files and data entry. And so there were a whole variety for all kinds of gifting. So. Mm-hmm.
And I know people that have kept like moms in their homes, like people that have an extra bedroom or an extra, mm-hmm. you know, spot in their home or whatever, where just kind of helping them transition. I mean, that's another great way to be able to help out.
Yeah, there's a neat ministry. It's called Both Hands. It's a project of Life Song for Orphans, but it goes to what you were just talking about, Lisa. And what it is, it takes a verse of James 1:27 that pure religion is to care for orphans and widows. And, you know, often it's easy to emphasize one or the other. And obviously in the adoption area, we emphasize the orphan part quite a bit, which I think is right. But also we can't forget that there are widows as well. Well, what this project does is for adoptive families who are needing helping finance their adoption, they can apply for a project. And what happens is they find a widow in their community and they do some kinds of service project to help meet some basic needs that she has. And they can raise money to do that. And then anything that's in surplus can go towards their adoption. So you see families who are willing to give and and the adoptive family can really minister to that widow right in their community. But at the same time, folks who are surrounding this family from this community or others can give to that project and also be giving to the adoption. So it's a neat way to see families reaching out in both capacities.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so great because when you are able to serve in a capacity like this, you know, we always talk about this boundless in a selfish way of how can I expand my sphere of just people that I know or just get out of my same rut or whatever. And, you know, sometimes we just feel so lame. We just go to do the same things, go to the same yeah. singles group, whatever. I mean, what a great way to serve and to meet people and to learn about new needs as well as just make new friends, you know, right. and get, I mean, I think it's just all around a win in that sense. So, okay, so Katie, hit us up with what are some great ways for people to find out more info about any number of things that they can do?
Well, our website is a great one. It's icareaboutorphans.org, and it specifically focuses on needs of kids in U.S. foster care. Like Martha said, we've been trying to raise awareness that there are kids right here in our communities and kids right down the street in your school district who need a family, but who also maybe just need some help and support. So we've got a resource on there called Wrapping Around Adoptive Families, which gets into some of the specifics we've talked about today. How can we support those families who may be called to adopt even if I'm not yet, or even the families that are called to be foster families for these kids? How can we support those families? So that resource is there. It's even a free download, so you can just get that for free. For adoptive families, we've got other resources there that would be helpful. If you know an adoptive family and just want to learn more about what they're experiencing, what they're going through, there's some helpful articles and things on there that may be a benefit as well.
Cool. Very awesome. All right. And everyone out there, we always tell you this because you're so amazing at it, but start posting this stuff on Facebook and start tweeting about it. Start throwing out this URL. Get involved and do something and start telling people about it and maybe get some of your friends to join you. It's always more fun and seemingly easier and less scary to do when you get a couple friends to join you in this and maybe trade off or get to know a family together or right. something like that. That could mm-hmm. be really cool. So we want to see you guys blaze us away on our Facebook page about this, about some of the ideas that you are doing, not only this month in National Adoption Month, but throughout the year. So make sure you do that. Well, thanks everyone for weighing in and sharing your own stories in this.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.